My name is Amy Coates. I'm an immigration attorney with Basham Spiro in Raleigh, North Carolina. I'm here with our managing partner, Morali Basham.
Hello, everybody.
And today we're going to be talking to you about a family immigration topic, how to sponsor your spouse or fiancé. Thank you for joining us. Okay, if you've done any online research, you're going to see K-3 all over the place. So I want to explain to you what a K-3 visa is. Probably, I'd say it was about maybe 9, 10 years ago, the wait to get your spouse here, if you were a U.S. citizen, was ridiculous. It was like 3 years. People got really, really upset about it, and they convinced Congress to create a special visa category to get spouses here more quickly, and that's called a K-3 visa. So when that was started, that was great. It was wonderful. It really helped get people here faster. But what's happened over the last, you know, maybe three, four years, I'd say, is the Immigration Service has gotten their processing times down so much on regular immigrant visas that I've not used the K-3 visa in probably 2 years.
I think that, Amy, the processing time now to do a regular immigrant visa, which means green card application, is about the same as going through the K-3 visa process, right?
It is. I mean, sometimes I'll file it, just to file it.
Is there any advantage to doing that?
Just to cover yourself 100% because it's free. So after you file your I-130 petition for an immigrant visa, that's when you file for a K-3 visa, and the government doesn't charge an extra fee. So sometimes I just do it to do it, but I haven't used one in a year, you know, year and a half, 2 years, because the immigrant visas have been coming through just as quickly.
I guess it's good to keep the K-3 in mind in case the processing times do start shifting upwards.
Absolutely, absolutely. But, you know, when people come to the office and they think a K-3 is going to be the thing that gets their spouse here in 3 months, no, it doesn't happen though. Okay, the another option that you have is adjustment of status. And this ties back into what we were talking about at the beginning of the presentation about coming on a tourist visa and then applying for adjustment status. Well, not everybody tries to do it that way, which really is not the right way, and I hope we made that point clear. But there are some people who are here in the United States in H-1B status, or let's say you are here as a student, you know, at Carolina, and that's how you met your spouse, and your spouse is on an F-1 visa. Those people are already here legally. If someone's already here legally and there was no preconceived intent to come here and to commit fraud, then it is possible to adjust status here in the United States without going abroad. But you've got to be really careful about these fraud issues, and it doesn't work for everybody. So I absolutely recommend that you have a consultation with an immigration attorney before you file anything. There's a big package that has to be filed with the Immigration Service. You can get temporary work authorization. Travel documents are a little bit you got to be careful there, because for anyone who's out of status, if they use a travel document, they could actually cause some huge problems down the road.
So basically, let's say that, you know, my spouse came here. At that time, she was not my spouse, but say 5 years ago as a visitor.
Mm-hmm.
And she was authorized to stay in the United States for 6 months, and she overstayed her I-94 card.
Mm-hmm.
So she'd been here illegally for quite some time. And then we met and got married, and I want to do all of this for her.
Mm-hmm.
In that situation, you're saying the travel document is probably not advisable.
Right. And in the situation you just described, actually the Immigration Service will forgive the fact that, you know, your spouse has worked without permission and that your spouse has been here illegally. But there are some other issues that come along with that sometimes. For example, false claims to U.S. citizenship, fraudulent Social Security cards, fraudulent permanent resident cards. So I can't give you a neat and clean answer to that one, because I do see other issues that go along with being out of status. Okay, so after the application packet is filed, the Immigration Service is going to schedule an interview at your local office. The purpose of the interview is to prove that the marriage is bona fide and that the foreign national is not inadmissible to the United States for any reason. So as far as the interview goes, I think that if you're just beginning researching the immigration process, you have this just really ugly, probably an ugly interview pictured in your head. But it's very rare that couples get separated. If couples are separated, usually Immigration Service has a good reason for doing it. What I see are just general questions with the couple together, such as, you know, when did you meet, how long did you date before you got married, where did you get married, who was at the wedding. And, you know, don't feel bad if you didn't have a wedding. I'd say at least 75% of the people that I meet, not even just in the practice, but just in real life, they don't have a fancy wedding ceremony anymore. So you don't have to have a fancy wedding ceremony to have a bona fide marriage. It's a whole lot more than that. So eventually the officer is going to want to see documents. Some officers, sure, some officers like to see pictures, but most officers want to see financials. They want to see that you're jointly obligated on debt and that you both have access to the money. Joint bank account statements, joint lease, joint deed, joint tax returns,
bills,
joint utility bills, joint auto insurance. If you get life insurance through your job or you just happen to have it that you've designated your spouse as a beneficiary, joint health insurance, joint memberships to things like even AAA. I mean, and it's not that you have to have all these things. It's, they're going to look at the totality of everything you have. They're going to look at it as a whole.
And I think they're also going to look at the couple, you know, and how they interact with each other. And they also have get a feeling of things. And I think that they have to cover themselves as well. So, you know, the more documentation you have, you know, they'll make some copies of these documents, put it in the file. It covers them, you know, if they mm-hmm. decide to approve the case. So, as Amy said, you don't have to have everything that she's listing out, but the more you have, you know, definitely the better.
And it does have something to do with how you present yourself, because as much as we don't want to talk about it, people do make stereotypes about other people from the minute they see a couple together. And so, you know, you do have to keep that in mind as well. I always tell people to dress like they're going to church.
That's right. And know what kind of shampoo your spouse is using as well.
Really?
We've seen that question as well.
I've never seen that question. But I have heard the question once, and this is when a couple was separated a long time ago. Just a question like, what's your husband's favorite food? I think that's the most idiotic question, because really, doesn't it just depend on the day? I don't know.
Yeah. Honestly, you know, I think some of the questions do get complicated, but most of the time, as Amy was discussing, most of the time, if it's a legitimate relationship, you know, and you can
and they have a good feeling about you as a couple, they're not going to separate you.
And not only that, they're not really going to go into a lot most of the time as well.
And they don't have a lot of time to do it. Some of these interviewers have 12 interviews to do a day. They've got to get you out of there because it might be the next couple that has a much greater problem, you know, a big problem with this case. Okay, so then, and also, as far as grounds of inadmissibility, if you've been convicted of anything, even if you think your charge has been dismissed, anything that is a non-traffic offense, you need to see an immigration attorney and have them take a look at it. I mean, there are things that you may think are no big deal that are actually a real problem with immigration. DUIs are becoming a bigger problem. It used to be that just one might not be a big deal, but we've seen some kind of odd things over the years.
Yeah, I think Amy's point is, if you don't have a complete 100% clean record, it's best to get advice to see if that would cause an issue in filing a case like this.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, and then finally, once your spouse gets approved, it's the same situation as when you enter with an immigrant visa. If you've been married less than 2 years, you're getting conditional residency, which is a 2-year card. If you've been married 2 years or more, you're getting a 10-year card.
If you do have any other questions regarding this topic, all you need to do is send me or Amy an email, and thank you for attending.
Yes, thank you for joining us. Bye-bye.